Have you looked up into the heavens recently? If you're not blinded by city lights, you can see the glory of the creation. Who created the heavens and the earth? And why does the universe exist? Why do you exist? There is a creator God who answers those questions. Can you prove he exists? There is an unseen spiritual dimension that proves the existence of God. Stay tuned. Warm greetings to you all. Less than 4% of the world's population claim to be atheists, but an amazing 96% of Americans say they believe in God. In Canada, a poll by Carleton University found that while 80% of Canadians believe in God, fewer than 25% actually attend worship. In Australia, a survey conducted by the National Church Life Survey and Edith Cowan University found that 74% of Australians believe in God. And in Britain, 69% believe in God. But have these believers proven God's existence? And do they know God's incredible and wonderful purpose for them? Over the past several thousand years, the great philosophers and thinkers have pondered the mystery of life. Evolutionists consider that humans have only an animal life that ends at death. Relatively few humans have come to really understand the revelation of a creator God through the Holy Bible. Why are you alive? What is your destiny? What is your potential? The answers to these questions are revealed in your Bible. But first, you need to prove whether God exists or not. On last week's program, we discussed 7 proofs of God's existence. On today's program, we'll see further proof of God's existence in the unseen spiritual dimension. First, let's review some of those proofs. As we saw in last week's program, scientists such as Stephen Hawking have established that the universe has not always existed, that the universe and time itself had a beginning, they say, in the Big Bang about 15 billion years ago. Physical matter and the universe have not always existed. Only the Creator God has existed for eternity. Creation demands a creator. These scientists also conclude that natural laws existed at the very beginning of creation. Laws demand a lawgiver. We also saw that science has established that life can only come from life. Life demands a life giver. The existence of the awesome physical universe, the continuing action of natural law, and the existence of marvelous life forms all point to a creator, a lawgiver, and a life giver. Now, when you add the unseen spiritual dimension of these 3 proofs, you have double evidence of God's existence. First, let's consider the spiritual dimension of life. Atheists and agnostics will not necessarily appreciate this discussion. Those who believe humans are only one species of animal do not understand the spiritual nature of man. Let's understand, the output and quality of the human mind far surpasses that of animal brain. This quality can only be accounted for by the spirit in man. The Apostle Paul wrote about the spirit in man in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? The Apostle Paul is not talking about an immortal soul, but the spirit in man. The spirit in man combined with the human brain constitutes human mind. Almost no scientist, psychologist, or psychiatrist understands that truth. The difference between human mind and animal brain in terms of qualitative characteristics is enormous. For example, animals cannot understand the quality of time and space. In his book, Manhood of Humanity, The Science and Art of Human Engineering, Alfred Korzybski outlined the differences between the forms of life. He called plant life chemistry binding, and animals he called space binding. Human beings alone, however, he identified as time binding. Beings capable of learning from experience and passing what was learned across time to succeeding generations. Korzybski called this the structural differential between humankind and animals. The human mind is a wonderful creation of God. No animal can produce the wide range and depth of human thought. Humans are unique. Only human beings have the spirit in man or the human spirit. No other creature has it. Human beings are a special creation. And yet humans are not all there. They are incomplete. They need another spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, "For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." God is the life giver, both of physical life and spiritual life. Later in the program, we'll discuss how God gives us spiritual life. But what is God like? God reveals that He is Spirit. In John 4:24, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, stated this, "God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." So God is the creator of all things, visible and invisible. He is the life giver of all living beings, physical and spiritual. He created the angelic realm. He created the heavens and the earth. He created humans in His own image. Now, is God still actively creating in the spiritual dimension? We'll discuss the answer to that question in the next part of our program. In the first part of our program, we briefly discussed the evidence that God is the life giver, not only of physical life, but of spiritual life as well. Now let's consider the evidence of God's spiritual creation as well as His physical creation. Have you ever considered why the universe exists? The universe has been described in general terms as 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars. The universe is in motion. Consider what astronomers have discovered. In his book, God and the Astronomers, Robert Jastrow discusses an amazing discovery made decades ago. Quote, "In the following decade, Milton Humason and Edwin Hubble used the 100-inch telescope on Mount Wilson, near Pasadena, California, which was then the largest telescope in the world, to measure the speeds and distances of many other spiral galaxies. Humason and Hubble confirmed Schleifer's discovery. They found that, without exception, all the distant galaxies in the heavens are moving away from us and one another at high speeds. The most distant galaxy they could observe was retreating from the Earth at the extraordinary velocity of 100 million miles an hour. The universe is blowing up before our eyes as if we are witnessing the aftermath of a gigantic explosion." End of quote. We human beings must stand in awe at the expanse and dimensions of the universe. God is the great creator of the universe. And as Scripture reveals, He created the universe by the one who became the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 9, for example, that God created all things through Jesus Christ. Has God finished His creation? Or is He even now creating something magnificent? The Bible reveals that God is continuing to create His masterpiece. It's the masterpiece of God's creation because it's spiritual. Listen to this. God is creating in converted, yielded, begotten children His own divine nature. We get a hint of that in Psalm 51. King David of ancient Israel prayed that God would create in him a clean heart. Psalm 51 and verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Every one of us has the spirited man, as we saw earlier. But God is calling many individuals to be converted and to receive the Holy Spirit as well. The Apostle Peter gave this instruction and promise on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, verse 38. "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, when one genuinely repents of his or her sins, is baptized, and receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, that person becomes a new spiritual creation. Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." My friends, you are destined to be a part of that spiritual creation, a part of a spiritual kingdom, and a spiritual family for all eternity, if you respond to God's calling. Once an individual has received the Spirit of God, he is in the process of changing from human nature to godly or divine nature. But just look at the selfish nature of human beings. And look at the biblical examples of men like Saul, who was transformed from a hateful persecutor of Christians into an apostle of Christ. Read in your Bible about the first Christian martyr, Stephen, who, when he was being executed by stoning, prayed that God would forgive his enemies, Acts 7 and verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. My friends, unless the Creator God through Jesus Christ is involved in a person's life, he cannot, I repeat, he cannot change from selfishness to godliness. My friends, there is an amazing ongoing spiritual creation, and you can be a part of that spiritual creation. The evidence in the lives of some genuine Christians proves there is a God who is creating in human beings his own loving and divine nature. No animal can be transformed to that quality of spiritual and godly nature. God not only created the physical creation, but he is even now creating in humans, whom he calls to be converted, his masterpiece of creation, that is, holy, divine, godly character in human beings made in his own image. The spiritual creation is powerful evidence of the Creator God. Again, we ask, why does physical creation exist? Why the universe? As we pointed out earlier, the material universe had a specific beginning. Astronomer Hugh Ross, Ph.D., who at California Institute of Technology researched galaxies and quasars, has this to say about cosmological discoveries. Quote, "All the great cosmological discoveries of the 20th century fly in the face of materialistic notions about the infinite, random universe. On the contrary, they support the fact of a finite beginning caused by and guided by a divine, personal, caring designer who exists before and beyond the universe." End of quote. Yes, God is a caring designer. God created human beings in his own image. And now he's creating in his children his own spiritual image, character, and nature. Again, the spiritual creation is powerful evidence of the Creator God, and you can be a part of that spiritual creation. Another proof of God's existence is that the existence of laws demand a lawgiver. Those natural laws were present at the moment of creation. Patrick Glynn, in his book God the Evidence, writes that everything had to be, quote, just right from the very start. Everything from the values of fundamental forces like electromagnetism and gravity to the relative masses of the various subatomic particles to things like the number of neutrino types at time 1 second, which the universe has to know already at 10 to the minus 43rd second. The slightest tinkering with a single one of scores of basic values and relationships in nature would have resulted in a universe very different from the one we inhabit, say, one with no stars like our sun, or no stars, period. End of quote. Albert Einstein marveled at the intelligence revealed in natural law. He wrote that the scientist, quote, "religious feeling takes the form of a rapturous amazement at the harmony of natural law, which reveals an intelligence of such superiority that compared with it, all the systematic thinking and acting of human beings is an utterly insignificant reflection," end of quote. Why did God create such an amazing universe with such amazing laws? Patrick Glynn comments on the purpose of the creation. He writes, quote, "Far from being accidental, life appeared to be the goal toward which the entire universe, from the very first moment of its existence, had been orchestrated, fine-tuned," end of quote. My friends, do you realize, astounding as it may sound, our awesome universe was created as an environment for human beings to learn about the Creator. Our awesome universe was created as an environment for you and me to transform our carnal nature into God's loving nature through Christ and the Holy Spirit. The entire universe exists for you. Now, if God wants you to have His spiritual nature, what describes that nature and way of life? As we've seen, the existence of laws in the universe demands a lawgiver. God put in motion the natural laws of physics, biology, chemistry, and genetics. Now, since natural law is clearly operative in the universe, is there any spiritual law in existence? The Bible points out that spiritual law is for the purpose of regulating relationships. Relationships between human beings on the one hand, and relationships between humans and their spiritual father in heaven, the Creator God, on the other hand. All civilized societies have established systems of law. The Western world of governmental law is based on the Judeo-Christian ethic or tradition, much of which is based on the principles of law clearly defined in the Bible. A lawyer asked Jesus of Nazareth, "What was the greatest of laws?" Let's read that in Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Ten Commandments are the basis of that law. They have spiritual benefits when obeyed, as well as serious consequences when disobeyed. The transgression of that law is called sin in 1 John 3, verse 4. "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." When we transgress that spiritual law, we come under the penalty of death, as it tells us in Romans 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just as the great lawgiver has instituted marvelous natural law, that same lawgiver has instituted marvelous spiritual law for the benefit of human beings who have in them the spirit and man. God's purpose is to create in us His nature of love. He will write upon our hearts and minds His way of love, and that way of love is defined by His spiritual law. God makes that plain in Hebrews 10, verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." My friends, you need to learn the spiritual way of life. Jesus Christ said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." To summarize, just as God created the natural laws in the universe, so has He given us spiritual laws that teach us how to love Him and how to love our neighbor. The spiritual dimension is a powerful proof of God. Now, what does God have in mind for you in this vast universe? We'll answer that question in the conclusion of our program. The existence of the awesome physical universe, the continuing action of natural law, and the existence of marvelous life forms all point to a creator, a lawgiver, and a life giver. Even some great scientists stand in awe of the creation and natural law. As Albert Einstein said, that when one considers the intelligence evidenced by the harmony of natural law, quote, "all the systematic thinking and acting of human beings is an utterly insignificant reflection," end of quote. In addition to the laws of nature, there are unseen spiritual laws that are immutable, holy, just, and good. These unseen spiritual laws are in force, and they act powerfully upon every human being, whether we realize it or not. When we apply these laws through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can enjoy the way of peace. No man-made system can produce lasting peace. In the future, the divine lawgiver will teach spiritual law to the whole world. And the whole world will be motivated to learn that way of life. Micah 4 and verse 1. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But every one shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. All the non-believers on earth will someday have an opportunity to see firsthand the operation of spiritual laws in tomorrow's world. They will see a spiritual way of life administered by the kingdom of God, and they will see the effects of prosperity and lasting peace. God wants all of us to be a part of his family for all eternity. He wants us to be born into his family as immortalized, glorified spirit children. The resurrection chapter reveals our ultimate transformation from mortal to immortal. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. As members of God's divine family, we will inherit not only the earth, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, but we will inherit all things or the universe. This is what God reveals in Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. My friends, God is the creator, the life giver, and the law giver. Through Jesus Christ, he is even now creating in his children who love him his godly spiritual character. The universe was created for you and all human beings that we might understand the awesome purpose and power of a loving God who wants you and his family for all eternity. May God help you to respond to his love.